that Sister Alyssa made it, and she kept the three boys at home today. She has two boys. Guess who the third one is? How's Aaron doing today? Remember, we have a group of men and families that are going to Tres Dias, and so you have a real opportunity to keep them in prayer. I know God wants to do a great work. I was talking to Brother Cornley about Tres Dias. He said that was a seminal event in his life. I believe, Reverend Natalie, that there's a time for the women. Is that true or not? True or false?
Yeah, there is. I don't know exactly when.
What, are you going to ditch six kids, huh?
I think so.
Okay. This is going to be kind of fun because I can play now since I don't have all the saints here. I love to play. One thing I'm going to talk to you about is an incident that happened to Jesus. When he started his earthly ministry, he went into a synagogue. You may recall, it's in the Synoptic Gospels. I believe it was Capernaum. And there, as Jesus entered this synagogue, a man began to scream and yell out and created quite a commotion, foaming at the mouth, screaming at his lungs, disturbing everybody, yawning.
Sorry.
No, yawning is part of it.
Oh, okay.
And because Jesus had moved in, it activated that demon spirit in that man. So what happened? Jesus quieted and cast that devil out in front of the whole synagogue on the Sabbath day. And what were the people worried about? That Jesus was working on the Sabbath day. They didn't give a hoot about the guy that was been troubled for years with this demonic thing. I will speak to you about something right now. I come to the house of the Lord to be delivered. How many have to fight their own devils, their own demons? See, today we call them syndromes. And we've got a pill for every syndrome. Now, don't get me wrong. Thank God that God gives us pills for our different emotional ailments. Many times it will anesthetize us where we become so insensitive. But I want to tell you that they criticized Jesus when the man began to act up in the synagogue. Natalie and Rachel remember that when I was in a Christian Heritage, when I first came from California with a banjo on my knee, we were in a church service and I was sitting next to Natalie and Rachel and Sharon, and we wanted to find a house that we could go to while we had moved to Tallahassee. And while the preacher was preaching, I remember Brother Shelley was preaching, and all there was about 400 or 500 people there. And all of a sudden, this girl began to scream and yell out. Remember that, Natalie? Mm-hmm. Rachel? Mm-hmm. And I said, oh no, the devil's acting up. And everybody was beginning to freak out. And, woo, I mean, this is out of order. What's going on here? And then Natalie, I don't know if it was Natalie or Rachel, that jabbed me in the ribs. Dad, would you go take care of that? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to make a scene. I thought they were trained to do things like that. So my daughter shamed me into getting up, going over to this girl that was screaming and yelling in the middle of the service. I rebuked the spirit, and all these deacons started coming back, and they were shivering. I said, no, boys, stand back. I was able to with the grace of God, I was able to shut that demon down. I was able to escort her. See, this thing contorted her body. That's what scared the people so much. And I was able to escort her back into the vestibule of the church. I prayed with her. She was saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost and brought her back into the service. I said, she's fine now, thank you, and weaseled back into my chair. People came to me times later and said, we've never seen such a thing as this. And I said in my heart, why not? Why not? When we come to the house of the Lord, the Bible says, Zion, deliver yourself. We deal with demons all the time. People say, oh, she's so shy. She is shy and afraid to break out. People don't understand. Shyness is the definition of pride. And it's a demonic force in many cases, not all. Those that are very boisterous are trying to control the service, like we had an incident here Thursday. I dealt with it a lot gentler, Rachel said, than I usually do.
That's true.
Did I do better?
You did.
Rachel thinks I would have thrown him out the window or something. No. We dealt with it, and we prayed the peace of God on him. And he appreciated it. He really did. He's a man that has been tossed to and fro with drugs, which we get the word pharmakia, or pharmacy, or witchcraft. It translates in the Greek. But I've, in my whole life, I have seen things in the demonic realm that have been, at the first time, I was pretty upset. I said, what's going on here? But after a period of years in dealing with some of these demons, you kind of know, get the gist. There's no macabre feeling when their heads turn and they're throwing out goo or doing other things that I don't want to discuss now. I just take it for granted that the saints are to deliver people. And we're going to discuss that tonight in this time that I have in the Word of the Lord. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 18, please. 1 John chapter 2. Tell me when you're there.
There.
In verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists by which we know that it is the last time. What is John writing to us about? He is saying that there are many spirits operating in the world that are against Christ, the Anointed One. And Jesus says, if they persecute me, they are going to persecute you. Then went out they from us, but they were not of us. He begins to talk about people that had come into the fellowship, but really weren't there. I could tell you story after story of the things that I've seen in the house of the Lord. The enemy wants to invade the house of God. And I hate to say this, many times he is successful. He's invaded us. We even know his name. Who knows the name of the devil that is assigned to us?
Skardon,
right. We know his name. I've seen him. But there are many antichrists. The spirit of antichrist has been in operation from the very beginning, and more so now. More so now. I find it odd that many believe that Christians can't have demons. If you notice that Jesus cast the devil out of people that were in the synagogue or in the church. And there's a reason you don't cast out demons all the time out of unbelievers. There's a reason for that. That's why you've got to be so careful. It takes the wisdom of God to know when you've got to deal with that demon and when you can't. or shouldn't, according to the word of the Lord. There is a reason for that. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 12, and you'll see the reason. Okay? Matthew chapter 12. We're going to see why we are very careful who we deal deliverance to. Matthew chapter 12. Starting at verse 43. Here we go. And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, what does he do? He walks through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he said, I will return into my house from which I came out. And when he is out, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. 30, 60, 100-fold. Swept, empty, swept, and garnished. See, when people get delivered, they think that the only testimony they have is their deliverance. Don't get me wrong. That's a great testimony. But that's just the beginning to be delivered. And then he says, when he goes out, in verse 45, and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto the wicked, thus this wicked generation. Okay. There are times in business over the years that I've encountered demons. I remember Mr. Bordenstein in Los Angeles, a Jewish man. I walked into a factory and I was doing representation work on taxes for this client. It was a pretty big factory, and I was waiting in the lobby to go in and see Mr. Bornstein. And all of a sudden behind me, I heard these horrible yells and screams. Horrible screams. Like, it was just terrible. And I was shocked by it, and I got up and I went to the receptionist. And I looked around, I was going to say, did you hear that? And all of a sudden, I saw a painting of Mr. Bornstein on the wall. And it dawned on me that this man, Mr. Bornstein, these voices that I heard, that blood-curdling, those that I heard were from him. I says, oh, brother, I've got to go in and talk with this guy. Really want to go in there and see him flopping around on the desk. But anyway, she called me in, and I went in, and I looked at Mr. Bornstein. I says, where's your father? Oh, he's been dead for 20 years. And I was pretty shaken. And I looked at him and said, I'm here to do a presentation for you and talk about your taxes. But I had an event happen to me out in your lobby that I can't discuss right now. Can I come back? I left whatever material I had. He said, yeah. He was curious what happened in the lobby. He was jumping around asking the receptionist what's going on. But anyway, I left. I came back 3 weeks later. He was in anticipation of me coming in. And I said to Mr. Bornstein, Sutton's Bornstein Jr., and I said, this is something you don't talk about with your clients, is politics and religion. But I'm going to tell you what I heard, because I feel that it was for his son. And I said to him, I heard your father cry out in great pain and agony. And he said to me, tell my son not to come here, because Messiah has come. And I thought this guy was going to throw me out as a crazy, but he didn't do that. What he did, after I said, and I'm supposed to tell you about the Messiah that has come. And this young man, after I told him this blood-curdling experience, grabbed the side of his desk and started shaking violently. He says, I know you heard from my dad. but I choose and will not believe. And then the word of the Lord came to me, even if one from the dead would go and tell about the darkness prepared for those that reject their Messiah, they won't believe if they believe not in Moses and the prophets. These events happen. Don't get me wrong, I don't look for a demon under every bush. Because somebody sneezes or yawns, that doesn't mean they have a devil. No. But what has happened, he has created a division in the church that deliverance is his children's bread. That's why Jesus taught the disciples the Our Father. Give us this day our daily bread. What is our daily bread? It's deliverance. And we have to struggle ourselves as believers with this area of deliverance. Why don't we cast the demons out of people if they're not believers or they won't walk with God? You clean their house, you get the strong men out, and then they choose to live their old lifestyle saying, hey, I got a quick fix from my drug addiction. I got a quick fix from this addiction or that addiction. And their houses are swept, and then I see them a year later, and they're seven times worse. So, it says, deliverance is his children's bread. So I'm very careful before I do deliverance for anybody, unless there's reasons for it, to be careful. Because God wants to deliver his people. The gospel of the kingdom is deliverance for body, soul, and spirit. We have people that have physical manifestations. Now, there was a kid about 4 years ago that walked up the wall backwards. You think it was Spider-Man. I've seen such ugly things, and everybody would think, boy, that must have been spooky. No, it's disgusting. Especially when you know. But it does remind you that there is a heaven and that there is a hell. And the forces of darkness are out to get you. Now, fortunately, in the last chapter of Ephesians, he tells us how we can stand against the wiles of the enemy. And we stand against him in faith, with the word of God, helmet of salvation, breastplate, the belt of truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That's how we deal with these demonic forces. Some of the manifestations of demons is amazing. I know a while back, some of you were here, we had to deal with a child. People freaked out. But I got permission from the parents, and they let me pray deliverance. And that child kicked and screamed. Then all of a sudden it went limp. Fortunately, the parents were wise enough to allow that. You don't insert yourself in as head of house, you know, against the head of house. So what happens to a Christian that has been delivered, set free from bondage? If they go back to their own lifestyle, they're opening themselves up to a worse situation. And my concern is that we ask people, do you want deliverance? Oh, I need to come and pray for deliverance. I says, can you be faithful to the house of God? Number one. Can you read your word of God on a daily basis and pray? It doesn't hurt to pass out some gospel tracts. It isn't a hard ritual I wanted to go through. I'm not looking for sin eaters. You know what I'm talking about sin eaters, don't you? Have any of you heard that term? Mm-mm. Oh. This is Wise Up Day. Okay. In the Dark Ages, which really weren't dark, they were demonic. When an evil man died and he was rich, what he would do, they would do, and the serfs that were around their fiefdom would help finance the king of that fiefdom. And so he would, when he died, they all knew he went to hell. And what they would do is lay his corpse out on an altar and put all types of luscious food around his body. And they would go through the villages saying, we will give you all the food you need and so much money if you will go and eat the food around the corpse of this man, that this evil man that died. 99, it was very difficult to find somebody that would take on this man's sins. But when they found it, the man would eat it. He would go through all types of contortions. And they said they released this evil man from eternal death. Now, if you're a wicked man, what would you do? You make sure you have enough money to buy someone to eat your sins. Of course, that was superstition, fictitious. But if you study it and look at the history of it, you'll find that they did this type of thing. Now, there are people that have to deal with many issues. Either it's shyness, or it's self-conscious, oversensitivity. Sometimes these can be spirits that have to be delivered. You have to be delivered from. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go before the exorcists. Because the scriptures are clear, Zion, deliver yourself. Zion, deliver yourself. How do you get delivered? By being in the house of the Lord, by taking the elements of communion, by being faithful, prayer meeting, you can be delivered. I have been delivered. How many know I've been delivered?
Oh, yeah.
Two. Any other? I'm going for, I'll give you a dollar for sin eaters.
I'll second
the motion. Oh, I was murdered when sonship started. I had a religious devil that wouldn't quit. Well, let's go on. Okay. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, please. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as if the day of the Lord is at hand. And what does it say? Let no man deceive you by any means. For they that shall not come, except there come the falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what restraineth, that he might be revealed in time, for the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now hindereth will continue to hinder until he be taken out of the way. Brothers and sisters, the theologians for 2,000 years have been talking about this text, this scripture. Let's talk about the mystery of iniquity, by contrasting it with the mystery of God. Galatians 1, 26 and 27. What is the mystery of God? Well, the mystery of Christ.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. What is the mystery of iniquity? Satan in you, the hope of hell. You see, the closer we come to the end, the more narrow the road is. And what you were born with, depending on your background, the things that you've encountered in life, you could have been an open vessel to demonic things. Sometimes they're not as egregious as the head turning and all the other things, but sometimes it could be manifested in your personality, such as fear, Fear is a demon.
Amen.
It's a devil. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. A mind that is filled with love has no fear. That's why, fear not,
for
I
am
set
with thee.
With thee. Thank you. Fear not, I am with thee.
Saith the Lord.
Saith the Lord. Maybe that's something we should say. The important thing that I want to bring to your attention, that there is a mystery of iniquity. And for those that are older in the gospel of the kingdom, it says, who's going to be taken out of the way? Well, it says the hundredfold are going to be caught up, which means that will give free rein to evil to come in. But when they're come back down in power from on high as the manifest sons, there's when the battle begins. And the good news is we win.
Amen.
Amen. We win. So what is God doing right now in our lives? He's delivering us. Every time you're in the house of the Lord, every time you read the Word of God, every time you're tried, tested, if you can deal with your anger, if you can deal with your fears, you can deal with your resentments, the unforgiveness, these are all challenges for you to be delivered. If you're dead in Christ, what difference does it make? I can go to a corpse and poke it with needles if I wanted to. It isn't going to do anything. It's dead. So we are to know him in the power of his resurrection, the Lord Jesus, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed unto his death. What is Jesus looking for in us? Death. So that there's no influence of evil on us, but dead to him. So that we can be like him, for we will see him as he is. So tonight my thoughts are that we have men, families that are waiting for their men to come home that are at Trace Diaz. I pray that you continue to pray for them. I think it's, who's there, Kelly? Who can help me out? Kelly,
Ryan,
Justin, and, okay, very good. But they need to be prayed for because they'll come back, I trust, filled with the Spirit of God and ready to go.
Amen.
But we got to fill those big balloons. They come back being filled. And we want to make sure they're filled with the Word of God, with prayer and a lot of love. So it brings us to the last point. Our daily bread is deliverance. I need to be delivered. Do you get angry at a red light? Do you get angry easy? Are you self-absorbed where you're so shy you can't talk? Or it's hard for you? Are you fearful of getting up before people? Or are you feared to be somebody to say something? You may, not necessarily there's circumstances, but you may be struggling with a demon. Now, Paul writes in Romans, in my flesh dwells no good thing. Don't get it in your mind. A Christian cannot have his soul demonized because Jesus is there. But this flesh dies daily. It gets older. Our mind, will, and emotions get warped easy. That's why I am delighted that Reverend Natalie and Reverend Justin, they are very careful about the programs that they let their kids watch. Some of them are downright horrible. They glorify homosexuality. They legitimize it. Everything the world wants and thinks it needs is not of God. They are even talking about taking parental control of the children away from the education. God didn't say, he said, train up a child in the way he's to go. Who's going to train him up? The government? Or is it the parents? It's the responsibility of the parents. The teachers are the agents of the parents to educate their children. They're not the boss. the parents are. Anybody that buys into that knows not the word of God, and I question their justification. And there are many people buying into it. Now, yes, there are bad parents. But also true, we have bad government sometimes, too. Parents usually love the kid. Government doesn't. And when we talk about government, government is made up of people. How many of these politicians send their children to private schools and not into a public school? What about critical race theory and some of these things that we're seeing today? Don't tell me the spirit of Antichrist isn't moving. Where is this coming from? It's the mystery of iniquity that is operating in the lives and in the hearts of many people in this nation. And it's being exposed to the believers in a way it's never been exposed before. And there's a righteous fear, the fear of the Lord. I'm scared for those that want to take the authority away from the parents. I'm scared for them because I know that the mystery of iniquity is working in them. And when I look at the mirror, I see the mystery of iniquity working in me too. I'm not exempt. I have to still deal with my devils. I know it, and I confess it. But what does it say in the scripture? Confession is made unto deliverance. So if I tell you my demons, I'm going to be getting grace to get rid of them. So here we are, sonship. We have the gospel of the kingdom. But the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy. What brings peace to us? When we have no fear, when we have no resentments, when we have no anxieties, when we don't have any unforgiveness, when we're not jealous, when we're not envious. Almost sounds like the works of the flesh, doesn't it? And these are the spirit of iniquity that is operating in the earth in a way it's never operated in recent history. We saw it rear its ugly head during the Second World War with the National Socialists, or under Adolf Hitler. Eugenics. Eugenics is a terrible thing. They kill babies in the womb. And they're talking about post-birth, too, because it's an inconvenience to the parents or to the mother. And they have all the best reasons. Well, if I have this baby, I can't get a job. And that's it. I understand. But is that more important than the life of a newborn? The life that's contained in you? And then they start theorizing, when does life begin? And Jeremiah says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. End of story. That's what it says. To terminate the life is murder. It's a demonic thing. When a person or a couple considers that their present circumstances doesn't warrant them having children at this time. So kill it. Or her. What kind of mindset is that? Is that the mind of God? Or is it the mind of Mr. Borstein's father before he died? The kingdom of God is a house of deliverance. And we all know the things that we struggle with. And people say, well, I need to come in for deliverance. Okay, let's finish up with this then. I need to discuss that real quick. When you're out of control, and you can't control your behavior, come and tell us. So you would probably be a candidate for deliverance. There are certain people that are continually badgered with suicide thoughts. They need deliverance. They have tried to cut themselves. It's in the Bible, it's called a concision. See that? Galatians. You see it all the time where people would cut themselves because they're depressed. Young girls. Bulimia. Horrible things. That, is that God? Or is that the spirit of Antichrist? The spirit of iniquity? Teenage deaths. What a tragedy. My heart breaks when Reverend Natalie was telling me about that firefighting lady that was killed on a motorcycle. That's horrible. Leaving the children behind. God has given us life, and He wants to give it to us more abundantly. And He does say, in this world we will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. If you need deliverance, where you're, there's an area of your life where you can't control it. It could be in the area of impure thoughts. It could be in the area of unforgiveness. It could be in the area of self-consciousness where you are paralyzed to speak. It could be any of these things. I bet you if I asked Edith, I mean, one of the advantages of the actors and actresses that you deal with is that they've got to be out there, don't they? They can't be shy and whimpery. They've got to be able to express themselves. And who do they assign to take care of the curtains? Those that can't express themselves emotionally or carry out their lives. Is that not true?
Yep.
We
send them to the tech side.
Yeah. So tonight, I'm going to pray, and we'll take communion. And Sister Alyssa, would you be up to doing communion along with Rachel?
Sure.
Come on up, and we're going to take communion together. And I'm going to ask